Hi, I'm James McElmany, and you're listening to the History and Philosophy of the Language Sciences podcast, online at hifilangsci.net. There you can find links and references to all the literature we discuss. Today we're talking to Martin Konvichka, who is, among many other things, a specialist in Dutch language and linguistics at the Free University of Berlin. Martin is going to tell us about his research into the Dutch significance movement, which was inspired by the writings of Lady Welby. Many of our listeners will have at least a passing knowledge of Lady Welby and significics, which we've discussed previously on the podcast with Walter Schmitz in episode 18. But so we're all on the same page, could you tell us who Lady Welby was, what her significics was about, and how the Dutch significics movement came into being?
Yeah, sure. So Victoria Lady Welby was a British philosopher of language and semiotician, although she would have probably not used that word to describe herself. She never attended university. She lacked a formal education and was never a professional academic. But what she did was she maintained a broad network of academic contacts with numerous scholars, including Charles Sanders Peirce, Bertrand Russell, Michel Brial, and Charles K. Ogden, to name just a few. And she was interested in questions of meaning, the interpretation of signs, and signs not just linguistic signs, but signs in general, and the mechanisms by which we communicate our intentions and by which addressees in turn understand them and interpret them. She coined the term significs as the name of the scholar discipline devoted to investigating these topics. And at the core of her theory of significs was a tripartite distinction between sense, meaning, and significance, hence significs. And in very simple terms, we could say that the sense of a sign is its broad, abstract, general meaning. And then the meaning of a sign refers to the communicative intent behind a speaker's use of a sign, while significance then describes the consequences of a sign for the addressee. In other words, how the hearer, under specific conditions, understands a given sign. And this distinction forms the basis of a dynamic and relatively modern view of meaning, as something that is unstable, contested, never fixed, and always context-dependent. The addressee does not necessarily interpret a sign in the way the speaker intended. The same addressee may arrive at different interpretations on different occasions, and so on. And Lady Welby published a series of books and academic papers on these topics, such as her 1903 book, What is Meaning?, and her later book, the final book, Significs and Language, published in 1911, just a year before her death. She also actively participated in conferences to promote her ideas. And during one such conference in London in 1892, she met a Dutch psychiatrist, philosopher, poet, and a social activist, Frederik van Eeden. And they realized that they were highly compatible on a scholarly level, and van Eeden was really inspired by Welby's ideas on significs. He returned to the Netherlands and began writing his own work on the principles of, or on the basis of, significs. The result was a book entitled Redekunstige Grondslag van Verstandhouding, The Logical Foundation of Understanding, that he published in 1897. Van Eeden did not explicitly mention Welby in that book, but her influence is clear. This moment can then be seen as the beginning of what will later be known as the Dutch significant movement. Van Eeden ultimately became the central figure of that movement, and under his influence, other scholars as well, such as Jacob Israël de Haan, Luitzen Brouwer, Gerrit Manoury, and Jacques van Ginneken, became acquainted with Welby's ideas and started a movement in the Netherlands.
Okay. So you mentioned that Lady Welby was sort of shut out from formal education, but she managed to build up this circle of correspondence and discussion partners where she developed her ideas. But why did her ideas resonate specifically with the Dutch significance movement? I mean, is it true that they're the only group of people who took on took on the term significance to describe their work?
Yeah, that's true. And it's a very good question why the Netherlands became the only place where significance developed into something more. Unfortunately, I do not have a very good answer to that very good question. But I guess that it's a combination of several factors. On a personal level, I think it was important that it was Frederik van Eeden who met Lady Welby and who brought back her ideas on significance. Because Frederik van Eeden was already at that time a leading figure of Dutch social life. He was a member of the literary movement known as the Tachtigers, the Eightiers. He published novels, poems, essays, and they were all widely read. He was therefore in a very strong position to spread Welby's ideas and influence how others perceived these ideas. The next thing I think was important was the broader context of the time when Dutch scholars adopted Welby's ideas. The origins of the organized Dutch significant movement can be actually traced to the years 1915, 1916, and 1917. That means during the First World War. The Netherlands was neutral in that time, unlike all of its neighbors. And part of that movement, part of the significant movement and part of the adoption of Lady Welby's ideas was its broader scope. The scholars involved in the movement were not only interested in questions concerning the interpretation of signs, they were also interested in how significance can be a means to achieve a much larger goal. And finally, one thing that also helped to start off the Dutch significant movement was the fact that they were ardent organizers. They did not just want to meet and talk about significance. They wanted to create an institutional structure that would support their activities. And ironically, they were also very good at dismantling the organization they had established, which means that over the years they founded, for example, the International Institute for Philosophy in Amsterdam. They founded the Significance Circle and also the International Significance Study Group. And finally, shortly after the Second World War, also the International Society for Significance. And these three factors combined, meaning the personal influence of Frederik van Eeden, the context of the First World War and the interwar period, and then the fact that they were able to have a structured organization in their backs helped the Dutch significant movement to start in the country.
Okay. In terms of the actual content of the ideas that the Dutch significance movement developed, how did their ideas differ from Welby's original conceptions?
Yeah, so as I said, the central question in Welby's original significance was how do interlocutors arrive at the intended meaning? And how addressees have to engage in interpretative work to infer what the speaker meant by a particular sign in a particular context. And all of this happens intuitively. But for the Dutch significance, however, it also meant that if only enough people become familiar with the principles of significance, if enough people understand how all of this happens, then we would be able to better understand what people mean and to prevent misunderstandings that sometimes arise. In other words, for the Dutch significance and for the whole significant movement, Welby's ideas were a means of improving society through language to arrive at a better society. In one of his speeches, Frederik van Eeden actually argued that miscommunication lies at the very heart of almost all societal problems, political disputes, religious divisions, and even wars, such as the First World War. The members of the movement therefore saw significance as a way to alleviate or even perhaps prevent such problems. And accordingly, the members of the Dutch Signific movement were interested in the description of language and also in the description of specialized forms of language, jargon used by particular groups. And they were, based on that, interested in what words mean precisely, and also they were interested in criticizing what they regarded as erroneous language use, with the overarching goal to, through a better language, to arrive at a better society. Jacob Israel de Haan, in particular, for example, founded even a legal branch of Significs with the aim of creating better laws that would secure a better legal system, which would again lead to a better society.
Is that a lot more applied than what Welby was thinking of?
Yeah, it was definitely an applied version of what Welby had in mind, and it was also applied to a much larger area of context that Welby actually intended. So there were the parts of the Dutch Signific movements were not only semioticians or linguists, there were mathematicians, legal scholars, physicists, philosophers. So there were many areas of human interactions where the Dutch Significians thought that Welby's ideas might be applied.
Yeah. Okay. I still find it puzzling, though, that the Dutch Significs movement found Welby to be a source of inspiration. Because, I mean, if you read Welby, I feel like it's sort of laced with Christian mysticism. I don't know if everyone would share that impression, but that's certainly my impression from her texts. And Welby herself, in terms of her background as a member of the British, of the English high aristocracy, and even in terms of her own personal inclinations, like she was an opponent of women's suffrage, of all things. Yeah. So she was a very conservative figure. And how does that gel with the ethos of the Dutch Significs movement? I mean, someone like Van Eeden, for example, isn't it the case that he was like a vegetarian and a communist?
Yeah, that's true. I think one very important thing is that the Dutch Signific movement, the members of the movement, did not really interact with Welby in person. They basically got her ideas filtered either through Frederik van Eeden or through her writing. And it was not only the thing with Christian mysticism or political issues. Lady Welby was also opposed to the Netherlands because of the association between the Netherlands and the Afrikaans or Dutch-speaking settlers in South Africa during the Boer Wars. So there were a lot of issues between the Netherlands and Lady Welby. But for some reason, Van Eeden, although a communist, a vegetarian activist, and a lot more, was able to convince her that he is the right person to apply her ideas in a meaningful way somewhere. And I think that was what was so captivating for her in terms of Frederik van Eeden as a sort of apostle of Significs in the Netherlands. And there was, as far as I know, the only other member of the Dutch Signific movement who was close to meeting Lady Welby was Jacob Israel de Haan. But Lady Welby died Frederik van Eeden and Jacob Israel de Haan, before they could arrive in England and talk to her. So Frederik van Eeden was really the only person communicating with her directly. And it's not only this communist or socialist spirit that we can find in a lot of in a number of the members of the movement. There is also, for example, Gerrit Manoury, who was even one of the founding members of the Dutch Communist Party. But other members of the movement, for example, Jacques van Ginneken was even a Jesuit priest. He was a very conservative figure who held at least partially anti-Semitic views, and towards the end of his life was very interested in some obscure biological aspects of linguistics and sort of drifted towards racial theories. And it was also Jacques van Ginneken who, at the very end of Frederik van Eeden's life, actually accompanied him on his religious journey, which led him eventually from this socialist communist to a religious finale in converting to Roman Catholicism.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was that.
Yeah.
But there was also Jacob Israël de Haan, a name that I've dropped several times already, who was, for example, he was a Zionist who actually stopped his work on Signifix in the Netherlands to be able to go to Palestine, to Jerusalem, to, in to quote-unquote, preach Signifix there. And upon his arrival in Jerusalem, he actually turned to become a anti-Zionist, and it was actually that led to him being murdered in the 1920s. So the Dutch Signific movement was really a broad church of figures who were really, some of them were atheists, some of them were Catholics, some of them were religious, some of them were very amicable towards mystical movements. But what they all had in common, despite all their differences, was this shared, very idealistic belief that Signifix is something that can help humanity in arriving at the truth with a capital T, and also in finding ways or new ways to express one's ideas. And they understood Signifix as a way to sort of improve interpersonal communication between individual people, but also within the whole society. So I think there were differences, but they also had this one shared ideal in common.
Okay. Is there anything else we should mention about Signifix and the Dutch Signifix movement?
Well, the interesting thing for me is not only that it sort of, that it started, and that this unlikely encounter between Lady Welby and Frederik van Eeden led to something that lasted, yeah, basically the whole interwar period, and that they produced a lot of publications, a lot of books, a lot of speeches on that topic. But the interesting thing for me is also how abruptly everything ended after the Second World War, because the whole enterprise basically begins in 1915 and then sort of slowly disappears a couple of years after the Second World War, and it basically disappears from the scholarly world. And so one thing that I would really like everyone to at least know is that there was such a thing as the Dutch Signific movement. So that would be the one thing.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thanks for answering those questions.
Thank you very much for having me.